This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
After 5 o'clock on this World Series Monday, Evan and Tiki live from Yankee Stadium, joined by a guy that you will get to see on TV tonight right after the game on MLB Network, Harold Reynolds. Harold, thank you very much
What's
for coming
up, Evan?
Sir.
You woke me up, man, with your intro. Like, we're back. I'm like, wow, this dude bring
dude,
it already.
Dude, it's the World Series.
What's up, Tiki?
I'm good, bro. 15 years without it, man. Or at least for the Yankees.
It's hard to believe that it's been that long. You know, when I started hearing it hadn't been since 2009, you go, what?
Yeah.
and for these two teams not to have played since 81.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Now, there is breaking news I want you to respond to. Me and Tiki have spent a lot of time talking about, I had an idea.
Okay.
Tiki liked the idea. And that was, hey, you've got an ace in Gerrit Cole. I would consider him for game 1, 4, and 7. Aaron Boone was just asked at his press conference, is there any circumstance in which you would bring Gerrit Cole back on short rest to pitch game 4? And he said, absolutely not.
Huh.
I think it's a mistake. What say you?
I'm shocked. I mean, that's why you pay him $300 million. Let's say it's you're down 0-3. You're going to go home with Gerrit Cole sitting out? No, I mean, we always talk about all men on deck, but when you set up a seven-game series. I thought that's why he went game one.
That's what I would
right.
thought, too.
You know, and so it's why you pull him. Or it's why he pulled him early game one. Or at least when he did pull him early game one, Evan and I both agree.
Unless there's more to it than
if you're pulling him early, it's got to be because he's going to pitch in game 5 or 4, right?
Yeah, I mean, it brings speculation to something
right.
that need not be. Because now I'm wondering, okay, is he healthy? You know, what's going on then if he's not throwing game 4? That's just a given.
Well, and look, you said it. He's here for this. He's an ace.
Yeah.
He's one of the very few aces even left in Major League Baseball. How many true aces are there? And so what I envisioned coming into this series was I got to have it be an option. And by the way, even if they win tonight, I'd pitch him in game 4. I'm still down 2-1.
Oh, no doubt about it. I mean, look, there's no doubt the road was through Houston. That's been the bugaboo for the Yankees, right? So you signed Gerrit Cole, and they got far enough. They were just short of the World Series. You get Gerrit Cole to get you over the hump. Now you're here. Mm. And the other reason I thought for sure he'd be going was because he started the year later than everybody else.
That's right,
good point.
Right.
And so he's got a little more in his tank than everybody else playing right here at the end of October. So I don't know. Aaron knows his players better than us. That's why I wonder, is there more to it? Because I would have to have Gerrit Cole going game 4.
Well, it's one thing when you think about the rotations and how the Dodgers are stuck bullpenning. They have to do it.
Yeah.
The one advantage was that you had Gerrit Cole maybe going twice. But let me talk to me about the Dodgers and how they've been able to, I don't know, smoke and mirror their way with their rotation to the World Series, and it's working for them.
Well, you're 100% right with the pitching. But what the Dodgers have done, it's almost like football or basketball. We're getting the ball to our best people.
Yeah.
So if you watch what they're doing, they got Shohei, Mookie, and Freddie at the top. All right? What's the bottom of the order doing? They're going to bunt a man over. Mm. They're going to put him in scoring position. Mm. How does a guy who's leading off in Shohei Ohtani go 18 for 23 with runners in scoring position? How's he get that many opportunities? Because they played the game to push their chips to the board. Say, all right, if you want to walk him, here comes Mookie.
Right.
You won't want him? We saw it happen the other night with Freddie.
Right.
They've played their game to push to their three guys and say, good luck.
Yeah.
We'll have to outslug you. But now they started getting pitching. So now they're playing with house money. They're getting pitching. But they're played the same game all summer. Shohei had 130 RBIs. He hit 1 and 2 in the order.
Crazy.
And so they played
right,
this game.
There shouldn't have been that many guys on base.
No,
he's
but
leading off. There shouldn't be that many RBI opportunities.
They're sitting here going, we'll move him over. We have Edmund hit a home run the other night, but he's MVP out of the last round. And his first at bat, he bunts a man over for Shohei to hit.
Right.
I mean, come on.
Do you think,
and then he batted ninth.
Yes.
And now he's back to either fourth or fifth tonight. Do you think Ohtani's going to be affected by the shoulder issue?
You got to think it's going to hurt him some. But We don't know. The Yankees don't know. And so just his presence on the on-deck circle affects everything we're talking about. So I think if he can get on the line. The other thing I got to think about, too, they're up 2-0. Let's say they lose today. Why are you forcing him back? Mm. He could have sat today. He could sit game four. You know, now it's 2-2. He could sit all the way through New York and go back to L.A. 110% healthy.
Yeah.
So that tells me he's got to be really healthy. I think he's got superhuman blood anyway.
It also tells me he's probably saying, there's no way you're taking me out of the lineup.
True.
I may not be healthy, but I'm playing. It's the World Series.
Did you ever hurt a shoulder?
Not like that, but yeah, you know, Derek.
Can you hit home runs with one arm? I know you can, like, chip with a golfer with one arm. Can you hit a home run with one arm?
He can. You know, a lot of guys get that one arm, front arm extension. He swings so different. I was talking with Jeter the other day. We were hanging out. And you remember when Derek separated his shoulder?
Yeah.
And this is before we knew Shohei was going to be back or anything else. And the reports were always subluxed. His shoulder's probably hurting. And Derek's like, I don't think it's separated because that was the most pain I ever had in my life. He said it was 4 weeks before he could even get out of bed comfortably.
Wow.
You know, so he knew right away it was either you have a separated shoulder, he is not coming back.
Well, Harold, so it is 2024. You know what that means? Drugs are better.
they got everything better.
The drugs are better now.
I'm sure. We're talking to Harold Reynolds, Yankees-Dodgers game three tonight. Why do you think Aaron Judge is struggling as much as he's struggling?
He's chasing. He's pressing. And I just think that when you get in, he hasn't really had much to hit now for 2 months. Mm. It's not that big of a mystery. When you get into the playoffs and they say, he's not beating me, take your walk, and he's sitting there going, I got to drive runs in, you find yourself in a slump, and then you find yourself pressing, and before you know it, you're chasing pitches. That's what's going on with him, I think. I've been saying this, and they'll probably get mad at me, but I've been saying it for 2 months. Why do you not flip Soto and put him behind Aaron Judge?
Right.
You got the antidote. You got the answer.
I wonder, because we talked earlier about that along with leading Judge off, like trying something different to relax him. I wonder if Boone, because he's had the same lineup all year in terms of how he has situated Soto and Judge, if he just doesn't want to change something this
year. Yeah, but look what we just talked about with Dave Roberts. Who's doing exactly what you just said.
No, and Mendy's done it too. Mendoza, manager of the Mets. Boone just doesn't seem like he wants to do it, right or wrong.
No, I just feel like the stubbornness may hurt him. You know, whether it's him. It's not. Well, I want to get one thing straight, too. It's not just Boone. We always say it's Boone. This is not the 80s and 90s. This isn't Buck Showalter or Joe Torre making a decision. Hey, Earl Weaver, he's playing. No, this is a collective group and they're saying, here's what we're doing tonight. That's the game we play today. Even Dave Roberts, oh, man, Dave's doing a great job, but Dave's not sitting there saying Shohei's playing tomorrow unless he got permission to say he's playing tomorrow.
Right. Yeah, I can only imagine the analytics behind a Guggenheim-led squad, private equity firm that has every analytical tool in the history of mankind.
They do.
What's your feeling? There's a lot of Yankee fans that are down that think like game one is kind of the turn of this series with the way it ended. As an independent baseball observer, what's your feel for where this series goes next now that it's back in the Bronx?
Well, I felt like, honestly, the Yankees should be up 2-0. I mean, you go back to real simple fundamental baseball, and both clubs are who they are. They've played fundamentally. They've been making adjustments. That's what the Dodgers do. We're going to play this lineup, that lineup. The guys are going to play all over the place. We're going to athletic you. That's what the Dodgers do. The Yankees, we're going to outslug you.
Right.
We're going to make some mistakes. We're going to mess up on the bases. We're going to miss a relay throw that shouldn't even be. And the next thing you know, Shohei's at third, Mookie sack fly, and it's 2-2 in a game they should have just won. And so that's what's happened. So I think if I'm a Yankee fan, I'm saying play clean baseball and we'll win a game.
Yeah.
That's it.
You're right, and it came down to that, and really, this whole postseason has been down to that. Just play cleanly, and you'll be fine. Now, the other question, you know, we talk about the pitching staff for the Yankees. We talk about Gerrit Cole. We saw what Rodon did yesterday or on Saturday, but we don't know what to expect from Clark Schmidt. right? We don't even know who's pitching in game four. But what can you expect from some of these guys who had in some injury stints? This is a high-pressure situation for a young, at least, starter in the World Series. What can we expect from the Yankee starters tonight?
Hopefully a lot of strikes. Hmm. You know, and they're facing – it's a challenge. They're right. facing a tough lineup. And this is a better hitting ballpark than it is in L.A. But the crowd's going to be great. And the big advantage I think the Dodgers have is experience. You have a lot of guys that played a lot of big games.
Right.
And so they're not going to be awed by a Yankee crowd yelling and screaming and excitement of it. Actually, they're excited. I was talking to Mookie, and he's like, man, I can't wait to get back to Yankee Stadium.
Right. He's got experience.
What a venue. He's been here before.
Yeah.
But, no, the Yankees really, they've pitched really well. I mean, they've got deep in the pen and got hurt late in games. But for the most part, they've been in every game with their pitching.
Yeah. Look, you hit on it before, and I think this is a concern. The Yankees haven't played a lot of clean games this year. It feels like they've made a lot of base running mistakes. They've made defensive miscues. So when you say earlier, and you're right, go play a clean game, I think there's a fear that that's not what they do. They haven't played enough clean games this season.
And the reason they've been able to get by is you're gonna score runs against mediocre pitching.
Right.
You're not gonna run into that in a bullpen game when you have the guys they can bring out of the pen. It's tough to score. You're not gonna score 8 runs. Not happening. No. You know, the Mets ran into a couple big games and it was basically the Dodgers going, okay, now we're gonna get you tomorrow. You know?
Right.
You know? And so they kind of afforded that. I could see them kind of having that type of a game today where they're gonna try to figure out their pitching, line it up, and do it that way, but you're not going to get those games all the time. So my point is you can't make a lot of mistakes against a team like this where you can get away with it during a lot of the other clubs that they played, not this team.
We're talking to Harold Reynolds. So Walker Buehler's interesting to me because 3 years ago he's one of the best pitchers in baseball.
Yeah.
He gets hurt, has another Tommy John surgery. He's come back this year. He's been very up and down. What do you expect from Walker Buehler tonight?
Well, he threw the ball really well last game, and what I saw – early in his career, it was fastball, here it is, I dare you to hit it. Here's my 99, I'm challenging you. Last game that he pitched was the first time I actually saw him really use an assortment of pitches and land them. You know, here comes my curveball, here comes a breaking pitch, here comes a little bigger bend, here comes a fastball. He threw the ball really well. But there are periods where he gets behind. And so if he gets behind these hitters, he's going to get in trouble. And I can see the Yankees scoring some runs tonight.
Does the weather have any effect here? I mean, it's going to be chilly. Feels nice right now, but I think as this sun continues to go down, it's going to get chilly here.
Yeah.
Does that affect the Dodgers at all?
You got so many guys from all over the world.
No.
It only affects me because I hate the cold.
I mean, you got that sweet-ass
my post-game show isn't very good. You'll know why.
You love playing in a dome all those years.
Yes, indeed. Yes,
I love the chill. That's what October baseball's about.
Yeah.
I used to love it. I don't love it anymore. I used to love cold. This is football weather. This feels like a Sunday football day right now. But I hate it anymore.
I mean, to be honest with you, the Yankees do have a little bit of advantage because, you know, they play a little bit more cold weather than obviously the guys in Southern California. But I don't know. I mean, I look at the other side, and we talked about Mookie already. He spent his whole career in Boston.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
And then you look at a guy like Jazz Chisholm, who spent his entire career in Miami. When they were in Cleveland, he was wearing, like, the ski mask. Yeah. It's like he did not want to be outside.
This is the first time I've been to a World Series, Harold, and the media is just overwhelming. I just see the amount of people standing down there right now.
Tell you what, this is the effect of Dodgers Yankees.
Yeah.
And for so long, we talked about it earlier, they haven't played since 81. But look at the rosters. I mean, you've got $1 billion of salaries on each side of the field.
It's crazy.
I mean, it's crazy. You got probably 7 of the top players in the game on two sides. I mean, you can look at Judge, Stanton, and Soto against Betts, Freeman, and Otani. Right. And the other guys are like, what about me?
Yeah.
You know, Garrett Cole, $300 million pitcher, you know, and on down the roster. So it is really some good ball players. And I'll tell you what, baseball needed this.
Yeah. No,
it's
you're
really
right.
Cool. I'll throw this at you guys. So I think a lot of this, obviously it's the effect of Otani and all that, but the rule changes, we're finally seeing it. We're seeing athletic plays on the field.
Oh, I hear you.
We're seeing a pace of the game. We're not sitting here for – you know how long that game would have been? 4.5, 5 hours the other night.
I've thought about it. Trust me.
You know?
Yes.
So we're seeing that. And I think that makes you tune in.
I think that the rule changes have been great for baseball, the speed of the game. Like, even the 3.5-hour games like you talked about, those are 5-hour games a couple of years ago. And, yeah, you're seeing more stolen bases. It's a better brand of baseball. But you said it. This is as star-studded a World Series as we've seen in a long time, and we'll see how it plays out. Harold, we appreciate it, man.
All right, my man. Appreciate
you. Thank you, man.
The great Harold Reynolds. You can watch him on MLB.
I'm picking the Yankees tonight after all that.
We didn't even ask.
Wait, real quick. How much is Soto going to make?
I'll tell you what. I'm not in the $600 million camp.
Oh, you're not.
Shohei Ohtani, let's not forget how we got to 7.
Yes.
If you took away the pitching, and Shohei Ohtani was a free agent, are his numbers better than Judge's? You want 50-50? I mean, or Soto, I mean? You want 50-50 or you want with Soto? I mean, so therefore you wouldn't pay Shohei $600 million just to hit?
Age.
You know?
Age is the big difference.
Age.
But that's a 5-6 year age difference.
$200 million
for a Cy Young award-winning pitcher is a big difference.
Right. I get you.
Thank but you, you're not, you're writing checks out there. I know where you're. I know where he's trying to lure it to. I know your team leaning towards blue and orange over there. I see it.
Thank you, man. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Harold
Reynolds. You can watch him on MLB Network tonight after the game. So after the game is over, Yankees win. Boom. You can watch Harold on MLB Network. Yankees, Dodgers. Thanks again, man. Yankees, Dodgers game you'll hear right here on WFAN. Sean's got a Cinco de Fivo list. I'll tell you why there's reason to be optimism. And we'll get to your phone calls, especially if you're on your way to a now filling up Yankee Stadium. The gates are open. People are entering. They're watching the Yankees take batting practice. And we are on our way to Game 3 of the World Series. We are live from Yankee Stadium, taking you right up until the pregame show. At exactly 7:25, we'll go to our booth to our left. Right now, we are in the Spanish radio booth. We appreciate them allowing us to spend our day here. And then at 7:25, we'll flip it over to the pregame show, Yankees-Dodgers, game number 3 of the World Series.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
All the stars are here. See, you see Jeter yet? I've not seen Jeter. I know A-Rod's getting here, but right now I'm staring at the back of CeCe's head, who's standing with Dave Winfield.
Wow. There you go.
That's a combo right there.
The Yankee legends in the building.
Right.
We do know that Derek Jeter is throwing out the first pitch.
Yes.
That has been confirmed. Paul O'Neill is throwing out the first pitch for Game 4. No announcement on a potential Game 5.
And how about this fan behind the batting cage on the field with a Gio Urshela Yankee jersey name on the back? How does that become your choice to wear to a World Series
Is
game?
Your issue Urshela or the name being on the back?
So I have less of an issue with the names on the back because of the way they sell them. But at the same time, if you're going to do a name on the back,
right,
And you show up to the World Series. You go in Gio Urshela on a night like this?
Maybe it's the only one he had.
I mean,
but if
you could afford these World Series tickets.
By the way, if you're on the field, not only afford the World Series ticket, but you're on the field right now.
Yeah.
You probably should have another jersey other than Gio
Urshela.
That's Urshela.
Amazing.
Unless he's related to
there
Gio
Urshela.
There you go.
Maybe it is Gio Urshela.
That's the only way Gio can get to the World Series this year. He's like, I'm going to wear my old Yankee jersey and I'll be on the field. A couple of things. Aaron Boone met the media within the last hour, and we mentioned one of the things he said to Harold Reynolds, who just joined us. If you missed that, you could always rerun on the Odyssey app. Aaron Boone confirmed, quote, there is no scenario in which Gerrit Cole will start game four on short rest. Boone said he wouldn't want to do that considering Cole's injury earlier this year.
Now, I mean, I guess that makes some semblance of sense, but this is the World Series. This is the last opportunity of the season to make the impact, the most important impact, which is winning the ultimate championship. And so why not just be even a little bit open to it? I mean, not necessarily wanting to do it, but there is no scenario? That doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, I think there should have been a scenario. This is something we laid out before this series started. I think it's a grave mistake. That's number one. The second thing Aaron said is that Aaron Judge, who is batting third yet again tonight, will not be moved in the Yankees lineup. He will remain the third-place hitter throughout the World Series. So as we talked about, for whatever reason, despite the changes that Dave Roberts has made, Carlos Mendoza made throughout the postseason, Aaron Boone remains steadfast that he is not making changes with his two big sluggers.
Well, I mean, we all try to psychoanalyze superstars and where their minds are, what could make them perform better, but let's be honest, they know better than we do. He knows himself better than we do. I'm sure he's communicated that to Aaron Boone, that he doesn't want to move up in the lineup or down in the lineup. And when you're the MVP and you're the captain of this team, you do what you feel makes you most comfortable. And apparently that makes him most comfortable. So I can't argue with it because it's clearly coming from Aaron Judge,
you
not necessarily
so?
From Aaron Boone.
You think so?
I do. Prior to last offseason, I might not have said that.
Right.
But after last offseason, when Aaron Judge basically said there's going to be changes and things are going to be done differently here, and it actually happened, then and starting obviously with getting Juan Soto, it felt like Aaron has a voice in how this organization handles its players and the situations that lead to seasons.
Here's what I know about Aaron Judge. Aaron Judge is an all-time great player. Aaron Judge has had two of the most historic seasons you'll ever see. And as unfair as some of the criticism may sound, he's got to find a way to come through. Because his legacy and this offseason is going to be defined by him coming up small in October.
Yeah.
And we could sit there all day talking about his regular season. It's not going to matter
if he doesn't wake up. This year will be, but I don't think his career will be because there's going to be other opportunities for him.
But right. You know what, G?
In theory.
So, I agree there'll be other opportunities in the postseason. There may not be another opportunity in the World Series. And the World Series is the ultimate. So, Aaron Judge very well could have, to your point, a division series next year in which he hits .575. But I don't think that'll change the narrative about his postseason failures if he doesn't come through now.
Yeah, well, hopefully he has a division series where he hits .575. It leads to a championship series where
course.
He hits .310, which leads to another World Series opportunity.
Well, but that's the point. He'd have to get back to a World Series. These are tough to come by. But I'll tell you why, in the case of Judge and in the case of the Yankees in general, I do not look at this series as, all right, they're screwed. They missed their opportunity. First of all, I believe when teams lose a series because they lost the first game, and I got examples, but I'm not going to bore you with them, it's usually because they're not as good.
Yeah.
That's a big part of it.
And that's not the case here.
It's not the case here. So the idea of, well, the Yankees blew game one, that's it. That's where the series turns. I think it's ludicrous because I think the Yankees are on the level, if not better, than the L.A. Dodgers. Or did the Dodgers have a better lineup 1-9? Yes, I'll give you that. I still take the Yankee pitching. Mm-hmm. I still take the Yankee bullpen. Like, there are aspects of the Yankees that are better. And here's the ultimate. And here's the real reason why I feel confident. The New York Yankees in this postseason, and this includes Kansas City, it includes Cleveland, and obviously includes the first two games against the Dodgers, are an ungodly 15 for 86 with runners in scoring position.
Wow.
Guys not named Giancarlo and Soto are 7 for 66. That's a 106 batting average with a 383 OPS. I am here to tell you, Tiki Barber, they are not this bad.
No.
They're not better than this.
Yeah, but it's no different than 2022 when they got to the postseason and their OPS collectively was 505. 505!
I was told on Friday, Tiki, by Sean Morris to not bring up 2022.
I'm just telling
you. So, you want to
go
down to Tiki?
They were much better than that, but that's what they did in the postseason. And so, it's you can't escape what the numbers tell you. So, one thing I love and I hate about baseball in particular, different than, say, football or basketball, where you can have terrible stats in football and you mess around and win a game.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily indicate success or failure. In baseball, if your numbers stink, you're losing the game.
Well, because too many one-on-one moments in the sport.
Yes.
And that's what it's all about for Aaron. And Aaron Judge and Aaron Boone, him not moving, by the way, their legacy is going to be tied in this World Series forever. So.
Yeah.
I almost don't blame him for it. He's already made his one mistake. They will live in lore together if they lose this World
Series. And I hope you appreciate my reasoning for why I have confidence in the Yankees. I believe that when you put traffic on the bases, I believe when you give yourself enough opportunities with runners in scoring position,
yes,
eventually you'll come through.
Yeah.
And I hope that sounds familiar because it's exactly why I had confidence in the Mets before Game 5.
Yeah, I agree.
Now, that was only one game. The Yankees need to do this four more times, but I honestly believe that.
Well,
like, if you put enough guys on base by accident, By just mistake, you'll drive a few in.
Yeah.
And I believe that to my core, that if Gleyber Torres and Juan Soto continue to get on base in front of Aaron Judge, by freaking accident, he's going to run into one. By accident. I will get to your Cinco in a few minutes, I promise.
Okay.
I haven't forgotten. Let's get to some of your phone calls, including Jason on Long Island. What's up, Jason?
Evan and Tiki, how we doing, guys?
We're good, dude. What's happening?
What's up, man?
So listen, I agree with Evan, and it's hard for me sometimes, Evan, if I can't tell if you're trolling the Yankees or not. But
this is a troll-free week in all seriousness. They're in the World Series. I'm not messing around. You may not like my opinions. I respect that. They all come from an IBO place, and if you don't believe me, I don't have to tell you. I swear on anything. Now continue.
No, I believe you 100%. My thought is, though, is I feel like you're going to need an impact at the bottom of the lineup. You got to see Chisholm, Volpe, Rizzo, Hugo, one of those guys is going to have to make some kind of impact on this series. I'm watching this guy, Edmund, and I watched him in the Mets series. It's their nine-hole hitter. Every time I look, the guy's on base.
Yep.
I think that's
one of the things that the Dodgers truly are better than the Yankees at.
Right.
Like, they just genuinely have a deeper lineup. Now, that doesn't mean Alex Verdugo can't get hot or Jose Trevino in tonight's case can't get hot, but one advantage I do believe the Dodgers have, I think the stars are equal. I think if you take the Yankees' best players and the Dodger best players, Soto, Judge, and Stanton versus, like, it's a six-way tag match in pro wrestling against Mookie, Freeman, and Otani. They're very close. The difference is that the Dodger depth is better. But the Yankees need to get some contributions from the bottom of the order. Is that wrong about that?
Yeah, we need our Tommy freaking Edmund. How annoying is he becoming? You guys know that all too well.
I know full well.
Yeah, the Yankees don't have a Tommy Edmund right now getting going at the bottom of the order.
Not yet.
How many positions does that guy play, by the way? Enough's enough.
He's everywhere.
And that's a July trade acquisition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a guy they got before the deadline.
It's, well, you know what? No big deal. We got De Los Santos.
He's Cabrera.
Yeah. Well.
But better.
He's a lot better.
I was going to say much better.
But better. Yeah. But better.
Yeah.
And we like Waldo.
Let's go to Paula in Brooklyn. How are we feeling tonight, Paula?
Great. I always listen to you guys. I love you. You really tell it like it is.
Thank you, Paula.
Actually, I am not calling to analyze this stuff anymore. At this point, I really expect the worst. Your track record speaks for itself and hope for the best. I won't invest too much stress. Let them show up and play the game like they belong and how it's supposed to be played at this point. Not weak fakers, wannabes. These morons better realize they don't have 162 games to make up a loss. This is it. Wake the F up.
Oh, God.
That is a pep talk right there.
I like that.
Would that pump you up, Teague?
Well, I mean, because of the realness of what she was saying, she's right. I mean, think about the regular season and how the Aaron Boone-led Yankees managed ineffectiveness, some failures, some down streaks. It's kind of like, yeah, okay, got a long season. It's all in front of us.
Right.
Like, at some point, though, you have to flip a switch.
Yeah.
At some point, you have to be urgent. And playing the Royals and the Guardians is not going to get that done.
No.
And so I think the Yankees have sleptwalked through most of this postseason, and there hasn't been a need for urgency. And now there's a need for urgency. And the biggest question that they're going to have to answer, and maybe they will or maybe they won't, is can you flip the damn switch? And right now, I don't know. I can't tell you that, oh, yeah, they're going to flip the switch and it'll be fine. I can't trust that that's going to happen.
I agree that you can't flip a switch. But what I can tell you is they just need to get big hits.
Yeah.
And they haven't done it.
But by the way, that's what I mean. It's just flipping switches.
It's being, just performing.
It's being the man that wants to be the man. And so much of that is a mentality. It's like you go into a game, you know it's an important game, and you tell yourself, you know what, I'm kicking your ass today. I mean, I don't care what the circumstances are. I don't care how bad, you know, the situation I'm in, and I'm kicking your ass today, and I want to do that. I want to be recognized for on this stage making the plays that make the biggest impact in this game. And if you come in with a laissez-faire attitude as, you know, it'll be all right. We're good enough. We'll figure it out. Like, you're not going to do it.
Well, there are two guys on this team that have certainly played with a we're going to kick your ass sense, and that's Giancarlo Stanton and Juan Soto.
Yep, no doubt.
I mean, those two guys, they are here because of those two guys. If you really want to boil it down.
That's a fact.
Those two guys have carried them. Soto, it's just, he's great. Like, it's easy with Juan Soto. He's a great player. He was great during the regular season. He's been great now in the biggest spot. Giancarlo Stanton, I don't know what it is. Like, it's almost like the lights need to go on for Giancarlo to say, okay,
no,
I'll
he
flip
just,
him from being a good player.
You know what it,
Evan,
you know what it is? He's confident that he's the man.
Yeah.
He's vain and arrogant, and he knows he's the man. He doesn't have to tell you. He just knows that he is. And I don't get that from enough of these guys.
Do you get it from Aaron Judge?
I don't know what I get from Aaron Judge. Because he's such a quiet, reserved player. And I know he has it in him, but we just haven't seen it in these big spots.
Look, I think that tonight, as this stadium starts to fill up, I'm going to tell you something very obvious before we get to the crux of it. When the Yankees are announced on the field tonight, it's a really cool ceremony. We've seen it in the earlier rounds. If you're in the building tonight, seeing it in the World Series is as special as it gets. It's this geeky baseball tradition, Teague, where they announce you onto the white lines
yes,
of the field. When Aaron Judge is announced, he's going to get a standing ovation, as he should. What I don't know is what happens next. If he strikes out with 2-1 and nobody out in the bottom of the first inning, is this the moment where the Yankee fan turns the way Morash turned back in 2022 when he was on Twitter quoted as saying, I wish I was at Yankee Stadium so I could boo Aaron Judge's ass. That's you.
Not tonight.
Not tonight.
Not tonight.
Not tonight.
Big standing ovation. We take a page of the Philly Trey Turner handbook.
Stop.
We cheer him out. Now, here's the problem. First and second to start the game, a little double play. He gets booed then.
Well, look.
Doesn't get booed approaching the plate.
I need to address something because it really pisses me off. Most fans cheer guys when a game begins.
Yeah.
Very rarely in the history of New York sports is a guy being booed before they do anything.
Right.
That particular night.
Yes.
So the idea that the Philly fan or even the Met fan with Lindor did anything that special, we cheered. We may have cheered a little bit louder, but we cheered. Aaron Judge is the MVP of the freaking league. Of course he's going to get a standing ovation when the game starts. The real question is what happens next.
No, double play,
that's
big
the
out.
Question.
Look, if they're go 1-2-3 in the first, you don't boo him. But if it's a big spot and he doesn't get the hit, I'm sorry we do. And I don't want to hear that cheering him or booing him will affect him. He's already affected mentally. So how much worse can booing make him if he strikes it out?
He's been a New Yorker for long enough.
Right.
Been a New York athlete for long enough.
Right.
He knows that it comes. It's par for the course.
And us fans have to do our job.
You got to earn adulation.
Yep. He ain't earning it. And our fans, John, we boo.
Are you endorsing a boutique? It sounds like you're endorsing a boo.
I'm not endorsing a boo. I'm just saying it happens. Okay. I've been booed plenty of times in my existence as a New Yorker.
I booed him.
In personality. Exactly.
But guess what? Guess what? I know I'm not a Giant fan, but I am a sports fan. You know how many times I booed in my life?
None.
Never. Never. None. So I come from the perspective, I'm like good angel on Tiki's shoulder, Sean's bad angel. He's like, I'm going to boo if you clown into a double play.
And guess what?
And I'm like, I'll be upset. I'll write down angrily in my scorecard, but I'm not going to boo anybody during the World Series. That's just me. Maybe I'm the bad guy. Maybe I'm soft.
No, you're the good guy. You're not the bad guy. Right. You're the good guy.
So am I the bad guy?
I think so.
Yes.
But you like my puns, and I still boo.
I do.
Let's go to...
You're also a Giant fan, so you get the benefit of the
doubt. That's right.
That's fair.
Evan does not.
I do not. Tim is in Westchester. What's up, Tim?
Hey, well... I was going to say what Morash just said, that we should take a page out of Philly's book and just give, like, I'm not going to the game tonight. I wish I was going to the game. I called, like, a million times all day to the price line, to ticket line, to try to get tickets.
Right.
Didn't get them, but I, like, whoever's listening to this, even you, Morash, like, you said you're going to cheer for him, but even if he strikes out, even if he hits into a double play, everyone stand up and just give a huge round of applause.
If
he hits into a double play,
guy makes $500 million a year. If he gets into a double play, hasn't hit in the World Series. By the way, and I'm here with a press credential. Some of these people have spent their kids' college funds to come here tonight, and you think they don't have the right to boo? We should cheer him after a double play. Get lost.
Also. I need to say it again because it, like, really bothers me. There's a very big difference between the start of the game, cheering a guy on your team, versus reacting to something bad that happens on the
field. And I agree with you.
Huge difference.
Like it's polar opposites here. 180-degree difference.
There is not one human being filing in a Yankee stadium, I swear, that is going to boo Aaron Judge before the game starts.
No,
not one.
I got to tell you, what I'm really interested in is to see the Dodger influence into this stadium.
Zero.
I would say I agree with you, but when I look right down the third base line, right in the corner, there's a little, that's Dodger blue.
Yeah, there is some Dodger blue in the left field corner. The Dodgers are currently taking infield right now. And you're looking, Tiki, at the 9 Dodger fans showed up to the World Series.
Okay. And if you're indifferent, just know you can come into Yankee Stadium and buy Ohtani Dodger jerseys. So that's also going
That's a problem, by the way.
Mm. Yep.
Can we address that?
Let's do it, because
How
it just ticked me off.
How are we selling Shohei Ohtani Dodger stuff?
Because it's going to make money.
But it's Tiki.
You better sign Soto if you're selling Ohtani Dodger jerseys here tonight.
I remember this happened during the regular season, and I had an issue with it. But okay, fine. You know what? It's money. It's June. Yeah, we're having a good time. It is the freaking World Series. You cannot sell Ohtani stuff inside Yankee Stadium. You can't.
I mean, they sold it before. Must have done well, so they're doing it again.
It's the World Series. They're your opponent.
And he's the great, one of the great stars of this game right now.
I got it.
You can't pass up the...
Dude.
Economic opportunity.
Yes, you can.
A Phillies-Dodgers series, those Dodger fans leave with slit tires and they have to call AAA. Yankees-Dodgers, they leave with a nice Ohtani jersey, freshly pressed.
I don't remember, so I don't want to quote too strong about this, but I don't remember seeing any Ohtani jerseys being sold at Citi last week. And by the way, it would piss me off.
You have a whole Dodgers rotunda, Evan, so let's calm down.
That's not fair. First of all, Jackie Robinson is beyond a Dodger, okay?
I'm just saying.
He's a New York icon, American icon, so it's not the same.
You built Ebbets Field. That's enough of a shrine.
That's a better critique, by the way. And we did. That's a fair point. We'll come back. We'll get back to your calls at 888-808-1019. How are we feeling as we drive over to Yankee Stadium tonight? Is there confidence? Are you believing down 0-2? Because here's the reality. Being down 0-2, a million times we've seen teams come back. A million times we've seen teams not come back.
Uh-huh.
My point to you, Tiki will be proud of me. It means nothing.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean anything.
Until you go down 0-3.
Well, then we'll talk about 0-4, and Sean will feel uncomfortable.
Yes.
Or will I? Because I have a positive Cinco de 6-0 coming up, too.
Very nice. We'll get to Sean's positive Cinco de 6-0. Lugie and I will give you crazy predictions that'll turn out the way we did on Friday night.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.